At the moment, as some of you are aware, hopefully all of you are aware, we're looking, taking our way through the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And this morning we're starting on 2 Timothy. So before I ask Gabby to come and read this chapter, which I think is a good idea to read through the whole chapter, I want to pray once again, because we need to thank God for his presence, we need to thank God for the word, and we just need to thank I just need God to help me this morning as well. So dear Lord, I pray, Lord God, that as we come to you this morning, Lord God, to hear your word, that we'll have open hearts, open minds to hear what you have to say, Father. But above all else, Father, I thank you for your presence, for I feel it here right now this morning, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that we will all just acknowledge that, Lord God, because we can't do anything without you, Father. I thank you for the way that you're filling our hearts. I thank you for the way you're filling our mouths. And I pray, Lord God, you open our ears to hear what we need to hear this morning. Lord, we just love you and we just praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Gabby will now come and read chapter 1, and it'll be up on the PowerPoint as well. So Gabby. Thank you. Oh, great. L2. It's always the last one.
This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I have been sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through Christ Jesus. I'm writing to Timothy, my dear son. May God the Father, Christ Jesus, our Lord, give you grace, mercy, and peace. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear consciousness, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember the tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I lay my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because it was his plan before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way of immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. That is why I'm suffering here in prison, but I'm not ashamed of it. I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. As you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me, even Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show special kindness to Onesiphorus and all his family, because he often visited me and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. When he came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. May the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ's return. And you know very well how helpful he was in Ephesus.
Brilliant. Thank you, Gabby. Man, yes. Thank you, thank you. Didn't she do well, eh? If you can't read well yourself, always get somebody else to do it. That's what I say. Now, there are two reasons why the second letter of Timothy is a very, very special book, letter. Firstly, it is a personal letter that Paul writes to his dear friend Timothy. Now, I know there's nothing really special about that in hindsight, because he writes a lot of letters to a lot of his dear friends, but this is to his dear friend Timothy. And there is no doubt that Timothy would have read this letter to the church around him, to the church he was ministering in, and also to the churches that he was assigned to. But within this letter, Paul addresses just Timothy. So it is a very, very personal letter. And secondly, the other thing that makes this letter quite special is that Paul wrote this letter from prison. Now, I know that Paul wrote probably half of his letters from prison, so there's nothing really special or spectacular about that. But Paul wrote this letter knowing that his death was only moments away. See, leading up to 2 Timothy, Paul had been in prison previously, as described in the last few pages of the book of Acts. And then he was set free from prison. And he enjoyed up to 3 to 5 years of freedom. And during that time, he wrote the first letter of Timothy, which we've just gone through. And he wrote many other letters as well. But in 66 AD, there arose a new emperor who was reigning over Rome. And as some scholars put it, he was a man who was both crazy and corrupt. And as part of his persecution of the Christian people, he imprisoned the Apostle Paul. And during that time, he had him beheaded. Now, this prison that the Apostle Paul is currently sitting in writing this letter was nothing like the prisons he has been in the past. This was called a Mamertine Roman prison, is what they're called. And via basically just dungeons or concrete holes in the ground, as you can see by our picture there. When me and Sina were in Rome, you could go to Rome and see them. I didn't know what they were at the time, so I never peered in, but that's what they are. They're just basically prisons, concrete holes in the ground. And that's where the Apostle Paul is sitting, writing this letter. And he knows that he is just about to be executed. Now, in those days, Christians would often be crucified, put to death that way through the cross. But Paul, being a Roman citizen, and Roman citizens could not be crucified. Therefore, that meant that Paul was going to be beheaded, which is exactly what happened. And in fact, 2 Timothy is Paul's last known letter. So in these few verses of this chapter, Paul describes how lonely he is as well. In the very last verses, Paul says to him that everyone has deserted me. This is what Paul says. So the Apostle Paul was sitting in a Mamertine prison. He was alone. His associates have deserted him. And he was walking the green mile. He was on death row. To me, this is what makes his letter so very special and so important. As many scholars explain, this letter is basically the Apostle Paul's last will and testimony. So it is a very, very special letter. As many of you know, a few years ago, my father was given just 2 weeks to live. And it looked like that was exactly what was going to happen to him. So for this period, I moved into their home, I helped to look after them, and I just wanted to be there until the end, basically. Which, as you know, it never happened, and my father has just had his 80th birthday party, which is quite special. And next year, they'll have their 59th wedding anniversary. Beat that. Now, my father, he has a firm, secure relationship with Jesus Christ. So death didn't really worry him as such. But one thing that I learned through going through this process was that knowing that your time is coming to an end, that it really helps to clarify your priorities. And it forces you to stop, pause, and think about those that have meant a lot in your life. So here is Paul writing this very personal letter to his dear friend Timothy. And within these pages, Paul shares what he thinks is important for the church to understand and what he thinks is important for his dear friend Timothy to understand. And that is simply to just preach the gospel. So in this letter, there are four charges throughout these pages about one overarching theme. And that theme is simply to just preach the gospel. Basically what Paul is saying, that when he dies, the number one thing that you need to do is to preach. Preach the gospel. Tell people about Jesus. Therefore, in Paul's mind, there is nothing more important than the preaching of the gospel. So Paul is really trying to get this point across here to his fellow partner, Timothy. He is saying that there is nothing more important in this life than preaching the gospel. So Paul is making sure that the good news is still going to be preached, still going to be carried on long after his death. And I believe that this is still important today. That if we don't tell people about Christ, then how will people know who Christ Jesus is? Which leads us to an important question. Is preaching or spreading the word of God still important for you today? As I said, there are four charges that points towards this one overarching theme. And those four charges are as follows. Number one, guard the gospel. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, 2 Timothy 1:14. Number two, suffer for the gospel. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of death, 2 Timothy 2:8-9. Number three, the charge to continue in the gospel. But for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. And number four, fourth and final, the charge to proclaim the gospel. I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. So as we look into these four chapters, keep the preaching of the gospel at the back of your mind, because this was always at the forefront of Paul's while he wrote his letter. So now that we have laid down a bit of context for this letter and for this chapter, let's break down chapter one a little bit, starting with verse one. And Paul says to Timothy, I am Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now this is a very, very typical introduction to Paul's letters. This is how he pretty much introduces all his letters. Paul, an apostle of Christ. It is important to know that the title apostle was used differently to how we use it today. Today we associate the word apostle with someone who goes around and plants churches and places. But the word apostle in those days was someone who bore witness to the life of Jesus Christ. And this is why Paul had to defend his apostleship, as he wasn't necessarily an eyewitness of Jesus' life on earth until the Damascus Road experience. But this is Paul's last letter, and he is writing to Timothy. And Paul doesn't have to prove anything to Timothy. So why is he? Timothy knows who Paul is. Timothy journeyed with Paul for 16 years. So why is Paul talking like this? Why does Paul feel like he needs to establish his credentials with Timothy? I believe that the answer is found in the remainder of this first verse. As he says, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Paul is just declaring where his authority comes from, that it never came from man, that it came directly from Jesus Christ himself. This is important, and this is very important as you will see as the sermon progresses. But we'll carry on. Verse 2 now. To Timothy, my dear son, it kind of shows the relationship that they had. He's calling Timothy his dear son. Most scholars say that they were kindred spirits. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. One moment. Love the silence. So here is Paul, and he is acknowledging those people that have meant a lot to him in the past, over the years. As we have discussed by using the example of my father, that when you are faced with the end of your life, you tend to check your priorities and who is really important to you. And you reflect upon those people that have made a real difference to your life, which is exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing. He's acknowledging his ancestors that have gone before him. And then he focuses his reflection upon one person, Timothy. And this just highlights the type of friendships that they had. As he says, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith. Just by reflecting upon the relationship with Timothy, Paul is filled with faith. This shows the type of bond that they had. It was special and it was unique. Every time that Paul thought of Timothy and his faith, he is filled with joy. And I ask you, do you have people in your life like this? That when you think about them and they come around you, you are filled with faith? Or even better, are you like that for other people? Do you have people around you that constantly fill your cup? Or do you fill other people's cups? But Paul in this section is doing something rather special for Timothy as well. Because Timothy is becoming very overwhelmed with his own insecurities. And he sees the task that is before him and he just doesn't feel good enough. And all these issues are just overwhelming Timothy. One thing that we have learned through reading 1 Timothy, the first letter of Timothy, is that Timothy was a very, very timid man. And he lacked the courage. He was filled with anxieties. Basically, Timothy is a man who was overwhelmed by the call of God that is on his life. And he is filled with fear. He was a very fearful, timid man. Some scholars even called him a coward. And here Paul is saying, do not let your insecurities get the better of you. Remember where you have come from. This is important because we all have to admit that at times life gets the better of us, doesn't it? Just gets the better of us. Or we can be filled with fear because the task that is before us is too big for us. And we start to doubt whether or not we can overcome what is before us. But what we can do is we can look back to what God has done in the past. We can take faith from what God has brought us through. And because of this, we can have faith that God can help us to overcome our present situation. Because he has helped you in the past. He has proven faithful. And he will prove himself faithful once again. Let's turn to verse 6, which is also my last verse for tonight. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. Paul is once again calling Timothy to remember. And he is calling Timothy to remember the time that he was released into ministry. And the church ordained Timothy into ministry, which is why the Apostle Paul is laying his hands on him. Let me remind you once again of our opening verse, where Paul reflects where his ministry came from, that it didn't come from man, but it came directly from God. It is like Paul is saying, that this calling that you have, it also came from God. This calling that you have is seen by your family, is seen by your church and myself. Now, Timothy, fan that into flame. Timothy here, he did not need any new spiritual ingredient in his life. The only thing that Timothy had to do was to fan into flame what he already had. Timothy, this gift that is living inside of you, it hasn't been placed for you by man or your own desires, but God planted the seed inside of you. Even if you look back into the first letter of Timothy in verse 14 of chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy, do not neglect the gift which is inside of you. Through prophecy, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Timothy, what God has already placed inside of you, the gift that is already there in your heart, do not neglect it. But make sure you put it to use. And I ask church, is there a gift inside of you that hasn't been put to use yet? Don't neglect it, but put it to use. But in verse 6, Paul is telling Timothy to stir it up, to fan into flame the gift of God that is inside of you. And this is important because the Holy Spirit is always in us. It doesn't go. We don't get it when we speak in tongues or anything like that. It's always in us when we ask Jesus into our life. And yes, we need to grow in maturity. We need to be physically and spiritually and emotionally mature to, in order for us to do whatever it is that he has called us to do. But the Holy Spirit, he doesn't change. And the same Spirit that empowered Christ is living inside of us. There are times where we might not be confident in our own abilities, in what's around us, to do whatever it is that we are called to do. But we should always, and we should always be confident with the Spirit of God that is living inside of us. And I trust that you are this morning, that today what's in front of you might be really, really hard, but you are confident with the Spirit of God inside of you that you can overcome it. The Spirit of God doesn't leave us when we fail, especially when we lack confidence to outlive our calling. If you are facing something today which is scary, and we all do from time to time, and you can so easily run away from it, remember, you already have all that you need to overcome your situation. So if you feel like your fire that is within you is only a small, tiny flicker and you have lost your passion or your zeal, or another word could be fire that you previously had, it is always important to know that you can fan it back into a roaring flame once again. Sometimes we need to come before God and allow his power and the breeze of the Holy Spirit to fan our gifts into flame once again, rather than striving in our own strength to get something done. But we need to trust in the Spirit of God that is living inside of us and have confidence in him. You can reignite your fire by trusting completely in God, and returning to him in prayer and rebuilding your personal relationship with Jesus. And that is how, church, you can reignite your flame if it's gone down. So, church, if you need peace, the Spirit is inside of you. And he can fill you with his peace. Just fan it into flame. If you need strength, his Spirit can give you strength. fan it into flame. If you need courage, he can and he wants to give you courage to get you through what you need to. Fan it into flame. It doesn't matter what you are lacking in life, if it's understanding, confidence, or joy, fan it into flame. God has never, ever promised us an easy, straightforward life, and we all know that. Trials and tribulations will always come our way. But he has promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. His Spirit, the Spirit of God, will never, ever leave us or forsake us. Fan it into flame. If you need comfort this morning for your grief, fan it into flame. He is always there to comfort you. He will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. And this is exactly what Paul is telling Timothy, that gift that is inside of you, stir it up. Fan it into flame. So Timothy, he had every reason to be encouraged and to have spiritual enthusiasm for his ministry. Paul loved him and prayed for him. Everything that Timothy experienced in his life had been in preparation for ministry. And Paul was confident of the genuineness of Timothy's faith. The Spirit within him would give him all the power he needed for his ministry. What more could Timothy want? In church, what more could we want? But God doesn't just deliver you from life. You still have a journey that you have to walk through. You are still going to experience pain, hurt, and loss. But within you, you have whatever you need to overcome your situation. Fan it into flame. And this is all Timothy had to do. As he had the gift of God inside of him, all he had to do was fan it into flame. But for Timothy, at this moment, that flame, it felt like a little wee flicker. And he lost his passion and zeal for ministry. Why did this happen? Well, there are two reasons that the scholars give for this. Firstly, that he was not a very confident person. And therefore, he was a little bit of a coward, afraid to step out in faith. So his flame turned into a bit of a flicker. And secondly, the second reason that scholars give why his flame might have turned into a flicker is because he carried a lot of responsibility. And the weight of his responsibility caused him to fear or to be fearful. Now, it doesn't really matter which answer is right, because regardless of the answer, he still needed to fan it into flame. The courage to do what he was called to do. Because if he didn't, his ministry could have come to a horrible end. So he lacked confidence. Even though the Apostle Paul saw inside Timothy the gift of God, the potential to do something great for Jesus. That is why throughout these two letters, you will see Paul over and over again encouraging Timothy. Paul saw the gift and encouraged him to walk, even though Timothy might not have seen the gift in himself. And this is why remaining in the body of Christ is important, because we can encourage each other. Even though we might not see what's inside of us, others around us can, and encourage us and urge us on. And this leads me to my final point tonight, my closing point, my closing idea. That we can become so overcome by doubt, fear, and worry that our own personal issues stops us from having confidence in Christ. When this happens, the gift of God that is inside of us, because we all have a gift, this gift might not be realized. Sometimes we don't experience God working through us because of our own personal fears. And as verse 6 says, the confidence we need is within us, and all we need to do is fan it into flame. And trust me, church, I can relate a lot to Timothy, because over the years, I have allowed many of my own personal fears and insecurities to overcome me, to overpower me. But what I need is Christ. I need more confidence in the Spirit, and just maybe some of you do as well. When I graduated from Bible College, when Sten and I graduated from Bible College, there was a church in Auckland that was looking for an associate pastor. So they asked me to come and preach to see if I would be a good fit for their church. As soon as I heard the word preach, I freaked out completely. Because back then I had a debilitating fear of speaking in front of people. Now, I don't know if that was God's will for my life. I don't think it was. But the sad thing is that I didn't even give it a shot. Because I allowed this debilitating fear to overcome me. And I didn't trust in the courage of God that is inside of me. I allowed my fear to overcome my life rather than have confidence in the Spirit of God that is inside of me. Even though this has been something I've wanted to do since I was 17. Now, I know for myself something needs to change. And I have been changed and growing over the years. And the fact that I am preaching today is proof of that. But I ask you, church, does something need to change in you? And I agree with what Simon said this morning, that there are people here who just need prayer. And I really say just maybe what you need is having more confidence of who Christ is inside of you. But you need to have a realization of who Christ is. And then for when you have that realization, you will know how powerful he is and how much he wants to do for your life. Because he really does want to do a lot for you, church. All you've got to do is fan it into flame. Ask God to reveal himself. Can I have the band up, please? But just in closing, I want to reiterate one thing that I have already said. And that is just simply that the gift of God is in you. You just got to fan it into flame. Let's pray, eh? Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord God, and I just really pray, Lord God, that you just have your way, Father. That if people just need to know who you are, I pray that people's eyes will be open to see how big you are inside of them, Father. That you can overcome their fear, you can overcome their doubt, and you can overcome the trouble that they are presented with. So Lord God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your message. And if anyone wants prayer this morning, come up and receive it. Amen.